Well, last week, Joe, we started a series at both of our places called Weird. And how many know people in their life that are a little weird? How many think you're a little weird? Right? Yeah. We all have those people, right? You know, there's people in your life. Some of them are family members. They're just kind of weird. Weird in a bad way. It's like they're weird. Then you have some people in your life, and you know, you hear a lot of this from girls. I hear this, you know, I've got, you know, two daughters, and you hear this from girls too. You know, they say, well, he's kind of weird, but in a good way. It's like, you know, nerds are the new cool, you know, kind of thing. You have to, if you're wearing glasses and you're dressed trendy, you're pretty cool. They're weird in a good way. But today, I think it's time for the church to be a little weird in a God way. We're too normal. And here's the deal. Normal just doesn't work. If you have looked on the news recently, over the last number of years, if you have looked around you in the places where you live, listen, as my grandpa used to say, this world is going to hell in a handbasket, and they have got a fast pass. It is time for the church to start being a little weird in a God way. So I want you to look at your neighbor right next to you and say, you're weird. All right, now this is not counseling time. I didn't say tell the person why they're weird. I just said tell them they're weird. Because I want to be weird in a God way, because here's what normal looks like. Maybe you have felt normal. Because normal in the world's way is this: overwhelmed, stressed, rushed, broke, in debt, relational distress, divorce, regret, shame, guilt. See, that's normal. That's normal in the world's way of doing things. But the God that I serve has said that we are to be different, that we shouldn't look like anything like the world. Listen, God didn't send his only son to die so that we could be stressed, broke, in debt, have relational distress, divorce, shame, regret, all the things that we would consider normal in the world. And when I say normal, I'm saying the majority of the world experiences that. And here's the problem is that many times, the majority of the church is doing that too. Living in shame, regret, they're broke, they're in debt, got relational distress. I mean, sometimes I talk to some Christians and I'm like, dude, I don't know if I want anything to do with whatever you got. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to be a little weird, but weird in a God way. And the reason that we're supposed to be weird in a God way is simply this, is Jesus said that his kingdom is not of this world. As his followers, Christians are members of his kingdom, which is not of this world. But yes, I know that we're here on this earth, but here's the deal. This is not your home. Wherever you live, Huntington Beach, Westminster, wherever you might live, that is not your home, because when you come to Christ, he said, my kingdom's not of this world, so if you're going to be with me, your kingdom's not going to be of this world either. This is not your home. James 4:14 says that our lives are nothing but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. There's a couple verses that will continue to guide us over this series that we do over the next number of weeks. And one of them is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. It says this, beloved, I urge you, this is Peter talking, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So Peter's saying, listen, you guys are just so, you are just kind of like you're traveling through. And as you're traveling through, make sure that your conduct among those that do not profess Christ is so good that when they try to say something evil against you, they can't because of the good deeds that you are so busy doing. That's your job. Your job is not to figure out how much, you know, how much wealth and you can accumulate and how successful you can be in this world and all the different things that the world considers normal and that you should do. But it says that you should be busy about the Father's business. And here's what being weird in a God way is all about. It is about being and following the way of the Master. Following the way of the Master. Another passage, and Joe shared this with you last week, is in Matthew chapter 7. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And as he mentioned last week, we know that Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In other words, he said, I am that door that leads to life. But when Jesus was talking in Matthew chapter 7, this setting in the right context, this was the back end of the Sermon on the Mount. Everybody's probably heard about the Sermon on the Mount. This is the back end of one of the greatest passages in Scripture. And as he's talking to those that were following and listening in Jerusalem and many cities and towns of that day, they were fortified by walls. And in Jerusalem, there was this huge gate where the majority of people, they'd come in, they'd bring their cattle, they'd bring, I mean, it was just huge. Everybody could just go through it. And I imagine Jesus pointing and saying, you know, broad and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, as he's pointing over to this huge gate that was in the center of the town. Many people go through that. And then in these fortified walls, too, there was other things that were what they called the narrow gate. But in order to get through the narrow gate, you had to leave things behind. I mean, it was so small that only a person could get through it. And it was interesting because in order to get through the narrow gate, you had to leave your possessions to the side in order to get through the narrow gate. How many of us are willing to put down the things that we treasure so much in order to get through that narrow gate? Jesus was saying that if you want to live the life that leads to destruction, a life of sin, that's easy. Listen, I do not live a life of sin, and it's been a while since I did live a life of sin, but let me tell you something right now. I could walk out these doors, and I could get in the mode of sin really quick. It's like riding a bike. It wouldn't take me too long. I could have me a great old time really quick. See, it doesn't take that much to live a life of sin. You come by it naturally. But he said, hey, there's a lot of people going through that gate. You won't be alone, but check this out. If you want to live the life that leads to true life, that's going to take some work. You just don't fall into that gate. You have to be intentional. You have to understand that not everyone goes through that gate. It can get kind of lonely because it's not the easiest road. This narrow gate, as I said earlier, that leads to life is found in one singular person, and that's Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, it's the way of the Master. So what does weird in a God way look like? I'm about to give you three S words. Not the one you're thinking about. But I'm about to give you three S words that I think are the most difficult things to do, yet are the most necessary to do in order to be weird in a God way. The first one is this. The way of the Master, it is selfless. It is selfless. The moment that you were born, you were selfish. You know that? You're selfish. The moment that you and I were born, we were born into selfishness. Sin in and of itself is selfishness. Because what is sin, right? Sin is simply, I want it this way, my way, right away. It's mine and all mine. And don't take what's mine. We're like Burger King. I want it my way, right away. We're selfish people. And in order for us to be selfless, that's kind of weird. It's hard. It's easy to be selfish. Take a little kid, for example. They haven't been in this world too long. And give them a toy just for a little bit. And then try to take it from them. See what happens. It is like bloody murder. I mean, you would think that the world is coming to an end. We were with some friends last night, and a little kid took something that was this little girl's, and let me tell you, it did not go well. Hitting and fighting, and I mean, it was crazy. Why? Because we're selfish people. We want what's ours, and then when it's ours, we want to keep it. And it's not about, we don't understand selflessness. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says this, though. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Ooh. And it says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Wait. I'm supposed to look at others. It says, in humility, and count others more significant than myself? Try that one on for size. We have a hard enough time doing that with the person that we call husband or wife. And they do a lot for you. But the Bible that I read says that count other people more important than yourself. That's pretty weird. That's pretty hard. But if I'm going to live in the way of the master, the Bible says that I have to do that. And here's the deal. The body of Christ must demonstrate this in a world that is all caught up in themselves. Look, just watch TV. Watch TV. Watch all the things that we watch. I'm telling you, the world is caught up in themselves. I have a hard enough time taking my phone and doing a selfie. Number one, I can never get it right to where it makes me look thinner than I really am. If I take it too far back, it sees my bald spot in the back. We had a, not too long ago, we had a famous person, I won't mention her name, but it rhymes with Ardashian, did a book of selfies. Like, that's weird. The world is caught up in themselves. Yet God says, count others more significant than yourself. Here's the deal. If you want to live in the way of the master, it's Christ first, others second, you're last. You say, well, Pastor Ed, well, how are the things that I need going to get met? What about me? Listen, here's what I know, is that my daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I ain't got nothing that I need, because he takes care of all of my needs. He's not just the God of just enough, he's a God of more than enough. And when I ask my daddy, who gave his son Jesus Christ to die for me, when I ask him for something, he listens. The moment that you start worrying about how your stuff is going to get taken care of, you're in a bad deal, Buck. Because you have taken your eyes off of the one that supplies all of your needs, and you're looking at yourself. Or you're looking at others. Listen, I love my wife who's sitting down here. She's a hot Latina in the front row. But here's the deal. I can't look to her to fulfill my needs. Because guess what? She's going to fail me at times. She's human. Yeah, I know, babe. I'm going to fail a lot more than you. I know. But the deal is that when you're in a relationship with people, if you're expecting them to meet all of your needs, you're in trouble. That's why marriages fail. It's like, well, you know, he doesn't take care of me anymore, so I'm going to find another man that does. Oh, okay. Men go, well, she doesn't take care of all of my sexual needs, so I'm going to go find it somewhere else. Please. Humans were never meant to supply all of our needs. If you want fulfillment, start walking in the way of the Master. Start looking to the one that is able to supply all of your needs. It's time for us to be selfless. But not only are we called to be selfless and to think of others more important than ourselves, but we're called to be submissive. Oh, we hate that word, don't we? Submit? I ain't submitting to nobody. Especially guys, we have a hard time with this. We walk around with this machismo kind of thing going on. You know, we got this tough exterior and we want to walk around and mad dog people. And I don't know what, I can't even do it anymore. I'm too old. But I knew how to do it. This submissive thing is so hard for us. See, here's the problem. The flesh fights against this point so hard. More than any other, I think. And this verse that I'm going to share with you from Romans 8:7 has always been a measuring rod for myself and others when determining where I'm at with my relationship with Christ. And here it is. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Listen, if you are not willing and ready to do God's will, then you got a problem. Here's the deal. Don't tell me that you can submit yourself one to another if you can't even submit yourself to an all-holy, all-powerful, all-knowing creator of the universe, God. You say, well, Pastor Ed, I don't do that well. I think we do because Peter, in his book, 1 Peter, felt like he needed to talk about it a little bit. And we love this. We love this this passage, and we hear it all the time, right? And you guys up here, you probably can finish the sentence. Cast all of your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. That's such a sweet, like, awesome verse, and I love it. But here's what it says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. See, in our Western world way of doing church, we seem to sometimes forget the context of some passages. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. In other words, we say, by humbling ourselves, we say, God, it is not my way, but your way. It is your will, not my will. It is not what I want to do, it's what you want to do. Because you're in charge, you're God, I'm not, I'm your servant, so therefore, what do you want me to do? And by doing that, I can cast all of my cares upon him, because he cares for me. Humble yourselves. We have a lot of our generations that believe that we are entitled to something. Let me tell you what you're entitled to today so we can just clear the air. It's exciting. You are entitled to death, hell, and the grave. Congratulations. And taxes if you decide you want to pay them. That's what you're entitled to. But thanks be to God that now I am no longer have death, hell, and the grave. But I am a blood-bought, born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And my eternal address has changed. And my fulfillment and my purpose is now different. See, the way of the master is not just about submission to God, but guess what? It gets harder. It's submission to others. Oh, boy. Ephesians 5 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And in verse 15, it says this, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are what? They're evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to this last kicker, verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. See, Paul was talking to the church of Ephesus to say, hey, you want to learn how to get along? Start living the right life and start submitting to one another out of reverence for what Christ has done for you. That means this is that it is not about having it my way. My goal in life should be, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? How is it that I can help you? You know how many less fights we would have if we would learn that concept of learning how to be submissive one to another out of reverence for Christ? Could you imagine how your marriages would work a little bit better if both parties were always saying, hey, listen, I'm here to serve you, babe. Whatever you want. And then your wife would go, hey, no, I'm here to serve you, babe, whatever you want. And then you'd go back and forth, and then you guys would end up making out, and it'd be awesome, and it'd be good, and it'd be awesome. But usually it's not that, right? I don't want to do that. No. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. Submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. Not only are we called to be selfless and submissive, but we're called to be self-controlled. Lord, how we need this in the body of Christ today. For if your life and your actions and your deeds look no different in the world, then why should somebody sign up for what you're doing? If you're stressed out, if you're broke and you're in debt and you're always living a life of regret and your life is all jacked up, who's going to come and say, man, I want what you got? I want what you got. Your life's always jacked up, man. It's always messed up, man. I don't know what, you have no joy in your life and you're not living in victory. Yeah, sign me up for that. Oh, and I have to live a different life and I'm still going to be all regretful and I'm still going to be all not full of joy and I'm not going to live a victorious life. Yeah, I want to do that. Nobody wants to do that. You know what would be amazing? Is if the people of God started living and acting and behaving and believing like children of the Most High God. Could you imagine if we actually started understanding what we have in Christ and started living that way and expecting in that way? See, here's the problem is that a lot of our lives are jacked up because maybe we haven't had a good parental experience in our lives. And so therefore we view God, our Father, through the same lens that you view your earthly parents. Listen, he's a good, good father. And when we begin to practice and utilize the self-control that comes through the power of the Spirit, things begin to shake up a little bit. But here's the problem. The problem, if we're really honest, is that we like to give in to the desires of the flesh at times. We like to do what you want, when you want, and how you want. You know what your life motto is?
It's my life, it's now or never.
You guys know the song. Let's go ahead. You can sing it in turn. Live forever. Come on, I can hear it. All right, that's good, that's good. Thank you, Bon Jovi. It's my life. It's now or never. Not gonna live forever. We're trapped in this mentality that our life is this like rock and roll life. Yeah. Your life is a rock and roll life. How did that turn out for you? Drugged up, high, regretful, shameful. That was really fun, wasn't it? Let's try that again. God has called us to be selfless. He's called us to be submissive to Him and submissive to one another in reverence of Christ. And He's called us to be self-controlled. Here's a problem with most people. They say, well, it's my life, just like Bon Jovi said. It's my life. It's now or never. I'm going to do what I want. Here's the problem, folks. It's not your life. You say, what are you talking about? No, it's not your life. If you say that you are in Christ, your life is not your own anymore. And I'm not making that up. And just so in case you think, you say, who is this overweight 40-year-old man coming and taking the place of Pastor Joe this morning as he's away? Let me tell you, I'm not making it up. You can trust me on this one. Because guess what? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15, it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Can somebody say amen? You're not your own. Stop thinking that you're own. That's our problem. You don't control your life. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. The moment that I said yes to Jesus, it was no longer about me and it's about Him. The moment I said yes in those altars many years ago and I said yes to God and yes to His plans for my life became His willingly. And so therefore, it is not about what I want. It is not about my plans. It's not about what I think is better. It is about what He thinks is better. And when I live life like that, life always seems to work out so much better. See, if our life and our decisions look just like the world, then what has changed? See, coming to Christ is not just an eternal address change. It's a life change. Hopefully, you did not come to Christ for fire insurance. You'll get that later when you go home. It's all good. Yeah, man, I'm glad I'm not going to hell and going to heaven. That's all fine and dandy, and that's awesome. But check this out. It's not just about that. It's about life change. It's about fulfillment and purpose and living out my life for Him while I'm still here. See, if your life still looks the same as it did before Christ, then you are just normal. You have been saved not to be normal, but to be weird. It's time for us to get a little weird up in this place. We don't mind being weird, right, when we're in the world. The weirder the better, right? But it's time to get weird up in this house. When you really stop and think about it, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to do some really weird things, doesn't it? Check this out. The Bible says don't commit adultery, but then Jesus takes it a step further and says don't even look at another woman in a lustful way because you've already committed adultery in your heart. That's weird. That's weird in a God way, but it's still weird to the world, ain't it? People think about that and they're like, dude, that's crazy. I look at chicks all the time. Well, stop looking. That's half your problem. My youth pastor growing up said, hey, listen, Ed, it is not the first look. And sometimes, Uzi, it's not the second look, but it is a prolonged third look that messes you up. That's the best amen I've got from that brother all day. Amen. How about this one? It says, the Bible says, the first will be last. What? And the last will be first? That doesn't make sense. That's weird. How about this one? The greatest among you will be the servant of all? Wait, what? The world teaches me something different. I mean, the world teaches me to step on others so I can get to the top. But the greatest among you will be the servant of all? How about this one? That God has asked for a portion of your income? Whoa, don't talk about my money, Pastor Ed. Now, it's getting a little. But it says, give, and I will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, so much so that you will not even be able to contain the blessing that I give back to you. Dude, I want that economy. I want the economy that if I give 10%, that my 90 is blessed, than rather having 100% of it cursed. It's a weird economy. It's God's economy. How about this one? If you want to find your life, you have to lose it. How about this one? When somebody offends you, the Bible says to forgive them 70 times 7. Wait, what? What? If somebody offends me, I'm going to knock them out, right? That's how we're supposed to do it. That's normal. Being weird in a God way means that you think differently about your time, means that you think differently about your money, means that you think differently about relationships, it means that you think differently about sex, it means that you think differently about values, it means that you think differently about life. That's being weird in a God way. It's time that the Church of Jesus Christ get weird. So I have Aaron come back up. You know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of normal. I'm sick of normal. I don't want normal. The reason I'm sick of normal is because I'm sick of seeing people overwhelmed. I'm sick of seeing people stressed. I'm sick of seeing people broken. I'm sick of seeing people regretful and miserable. I'm tired of that. You know what I'm sick of too? I'm sick of normal Christianity. I'm sick of this some kind of Western worldview of Christianity and worshiping God that doesn't cost you anything. So tired of doing church that way. Well, I'm going to come to church on Sunday and it's not going to cost me anything to live for Christ. And I want to feel good about myself when I go into church and when I walk out so I can live like I want to Monday through Friday. And it's never going to cost me anything to follow Christ. I'm so tired of that. We got people that are giving their lives just by saying, I serve Jesus Christ. People that are giving their lives, being martyred on a daily basis for the name of Christ. And that's what it's about. I want that type of commitment. I want to be able to say that I could do that. I'm sick of safe church and a safe life where we just die and go to heaven. I want worship at church to be a way of life. Tired of worship at church is just one day a week. What's weird about that? Every time the doors were open growing up, my mom would drag me to church. Well, Mom, it's Tuesday. Don't matter. Church is open. We're going. Mom, we've been in this revival for like 10 weeks every day. I know we're going to go for another 10 if it keeps going. I'm tired of normal. I want you to be tired of normal. Here's the deal. I want to love my neighbor. I want to share in the sufferings of Christ. I want to forgive. I want to give without expecting anything in return. I want to give to the poor. I want to be a contributing member of the body of Christ and to my community. I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I want to serve. I want to be an advocate for the widows and the orphans. I want to make God first. I want to make God proud. I want to glorify my Father in heaven. I want to be a God-favored weirdo. That's what we need to be, folks. That's what I want to be. Who cares that you come to church? You came to church on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day. Everybody just go. Let's start living for Christ. Let's start learning how to suffer with Christ. Let's learn how to start giving without expecting anything in return. Let's be an advocate for the widows and the orphans out there, for those that are the disadvantaged. Let us stick up for those that are single parents. Let us stick up for those kids that are being abused. Let's stick up for the cause of Christ. And let's be weird. I want you to do something this week. This is your action item. This week, I want you to do something that the world would consider weird. And I want you to go on social media, and I want you to record or post what you did, and I want you to hashtag that bad boy, and I want you to say weird in a God way. Because listen, I am so tired of social media, seeing all the things that I see on there. I'm like, are you kidding me? And guess what? That's even some Christians. Hello. But what if we started doing something that was so weird and different that people looked at it and go, wow, that is amazing. And it gave glory to our God in heaven. This last week, and I would not share this because it's not about what I did or anything like that, but to give you an example, this last week, we took a friend, myself and my wife and another friend of ours at our HB campus, took one of our friends that has special needs. It was his 37th birthday. It was his 37th birthday, but my friend has about the mentality of a 10-year-old. And nobody was doing anything for him on his 37th birthday. And I said, you know what? That shouldn't be. And so we took our friend out and we went, and it was great. He loved it. Bought him dinner, brought him some gifts. Went to a Mexican food restaurant. He got a cheese omelet, which I don't know what that's about. But that's our friend. I said, buddy, you know we're at a Mexican food restaurant. That's where we get Mexican food. No, I want cheese omelet. Cheese omelet. Okay. Cheese omelet. Get the guy a cheese omelet. But that act of love changes things. He texted me this week and he says, hey, do you think you can pick me up for church? Never goes to church. Why? Why did he want to do that? Because he experienced something that he doesn't experience in the world. He experienced somebody loving him for who he was, that he was a soul that was important to Jesus Christ. Listen, it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult to be weird in a God way. Just listen to your heart. Listen to what God is telling you and do it. Let's be weird in a God way. This church is celebrating 20 years. Pastor Joe and Therese have been a part of this church and have labored and taken time to invest into your life and to many of those whose life has been torn apart by sin. Let me tell you something. As a pastor, you don't want my job. Being a pastor is tough. Being a pastor and giving your lives to the benefit of others is definitely beneficial, but it's definitely never easy. Ask my wife, who has to share her husband with tons of people all the time. It's not easy to give your life for the sake of the gospel. And we're going to be today taking up a special offering so that Joe and Therese, we can honor them and do something nice for them, because guess what? It's biblical. The Bible says is that you're to show honor to those whom deserve honor. To those whom God has placed over your soul as a shepherd, honor them. Honor them. Do what you can to place them in a place of prominence in your life. And so we're going to be taking a special offering, and they're going to be presenting it to Pastor Joe and Therese, and I won't be here, but you tell them that I did a really good job in collecting the offering. But I want you, listen, I want you to dig deep. No effort, no sacrifice that is ever given for the sake of Christ and to honor those that God has placed in your life ever comes back void. So I want you to dig deep today, and I want you to give, because we're going to be blessing them, and I think that they're putting together kind of a special package for Joe and Therese. And I want you to be a part of that. Not only because it's going to bless you, but it's going to bless them because they're worthy to be honored. And we want to take some time to do that. We're going to pray right now, and we're going to also pray for them as Therese's mom is ill. We want to... That's a tough time. I've lost both of my parents, man. That is no joke. This is not a fun time. And we need to lift our pastors up. So if you would join me in prayer, and then our ushers will come by. And if you want to be a part of that, you can put it in an envelope and just mark special or Joe and Therese or whatever you want to do. They'll get it. But let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you have called us out of this world. You have bought us with a price, and you have called us to be different. And God, we thank you for the churches that are represented, God, here at His Place Westminster, His Place Huntington Beach, His Place Long Beach. And God, the work that you're doing in the lives of those communities. And God, as we come up on this time of 20 years for His Place, God, we pray that Pastor Joe and Therese would feel the love, that they would be able to take some time to be able to look back on all that you've done for your people, and that, God, we would be able to be a blessing to them. And God, we lift up their family right now. We pray that the peace that passes all understanding would guard their hearts and their minds in you. God, we pray for a strength that is beyond belief for Therese and Mary and that whole family. In Jesus' name, amen. As the ushers are doing, and as we get ready to close here, I want to thank you for allowing me to come today and minister to you. It's always a pleasure to be able to come and speak to another one of our campuses, and we are blessed to be a part of you guys and be part of your family at Huntington Beach. And God is doing some great things. Doing some great things. And so as we close today, I want us to sing that last thing so that could be an anthem for us this week, that nothing, nothing is impossible with Him. Remember, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your family's going through, no matter what hardship you got, listen, check this out. Be weird in a God way this week and see what He does in your life. Amen? Amen. Let's sing it, Aaron, one last time.
It's impossible for You. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for You. You hold the world in Your hand. Oh, nothing is impossible for You. Nothing is impossible.
God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week. Go with God. He loves you. God bless you.